Fury Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, July 2nd, 2023. July 4th kind of weekend here. We got some, a little bit of explosions going on around. Who knows what it is, gunfire or fireworks? It's hard to really tell these days. Very, very kind of a somber time right now. I'm feeling, due to the march through the institutions and, you know, the timing, the Supreme Court, the timing of these decisions right here at the front edge of summer. So we've got a couple, you know, two and a half months of warm weather coming our way. We've got the little reparations task force goofballs over here in California releasing their 1,000-page report. So then you have these student debt rulings and the affirmative action college admission rulings. And then the one about the Christian software lady that shouldn't have to, compromise her faith principles in order to please these openly homosexual types. And, you know, that's a no-brainer for those of us that are older and grew up where America was still normal. I mean, I grew up during the 70s and was a teen in the 80s. And we were on the edge of America becoming abnormal. Don't get me wrong, the music industry got very dark, and you had the advent of the rap music industry coming on, and, you know, those sorts of things. But men were still pretty much men, and women were women, and, you know, gay people existed, or I should say homosexual people existed. Gay is really a word that was stolen from our forefathers, where gay was just meaning like happy and carefree and so forth. And then these people stole the word, just like they stole the symbol of the rainbow, and incorporated it into their, let's just say, basket of words and images. And so we see a perfect storm brewing for the next election cycle. I have a bad feeling. You know, look, we made it out of this Pride Month without. I had a premonition that they might have pulled some operations, like, you know, some violent mass casualty event type things at some of these events, and it didn't happen. And you can say whether that's good or bad, but so we made it out of this month of June without something like that. Now, of course, we have this thing that just happened in DC. Where basically you've got some sort of alleged bomber targets a bank, Safeway, and Nike store in D.C. So the nation's capital is on edge today after someone detonated bombs and threw Molotov cocktails at three businesses early Sunday morning. So that was Saturday night. There were no injuries, but there was damage done to a Nike store, a Safeway grocery store, and a Truist bank. Okay. So it says it does not appear the suspect was targeted at any members of the public. Establishments were closed at the time of the offenses. There were no reported injuries as a result. Now, it's hard to say whether this is synthetic or organic at this point in time, but it's interesting that, you know, you targeting a bank, a Nike store, and a grocery store. So could be just somebody's a crackpot. Could be some sort of environmental type. You just don't know. Or it could be a synthetic, you know, patsy or some sort of an operator doing it for some larger objective. It's hard to really say right now, but pretty fascinating. Now, the situation in France. I've been digging around at a lot of different opinion makers. Now, this is on a Catholic website. And France, the Islamic insurrection is a WF project analysis. So, a lot of people are throwing everything at the World Economic Forum and letting it try to stick. So this is what it says. All the fingerprints point to one suspect, the WEF. At the end of April, Musk gets $13 billion in financing and appoints WEFer Yaccarino, an Algerian Jewess, to be CEO of Twitter. Now, I did a deep dive on Yaccarino, and it seemed like she was more or less Catholic, but this guy's saying she's an Algerian Jewess. We'll see. Soon, conservatives are being banned, suspended, and shadow banned. Ordo Militaris Catholicus' main account was banned on about June 15th, advocating for the start of a youth camp in Europe to defend Europe. And then the other Twitter file, Ordo Militaris EU, after a few days of liberty, was tombstoned for advocating the defense of Europe, and this around June 19th. The entire MSM of France exploded on June 27th, 2023. And so, you know, you got your 627 and so forth, which is a 33 and that sort of stuff. Over the justified shooting of a career criminal who, having stolen a car, running over a pedestrian and refusing to get out, started the car to escape, then simultaneously organized and armed Islamic criminal gangs and militia poured into the streets of France, burning, destroying, killing, maiming. Videos are now showing they have formed armed militias, have received weapons, and blah, 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 blah. We know all this. So during this time, Twitter responded by throttling all reports and accounts of the mayhem in France, going so far as to even prevent those off-platform reading about it. Update: Musk has now invented an excuse to prevent everyone from reading too much on his own platform. He is totally folded to information control. And he gets into this whole thing from the July 1st tweet from Musk: to address extreme levels of data scraping and system manipulation, we've applied the following temporary limits. Verified accounts are limited to reading 6,000 posts a day, unverified accounts to 600 a day, new unverified accounts to 300 a day. There's different opinions on this. Zero Hedge has something up there, basically, that Musk's tweet limiting move is to prevent the completion of the AI censorship Death Star. So Tyler Durden over here, claiming the sudden change is being implemented to combat extreme levels of blah, 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 which I already read. Immediately, the socials came alive with claims of free speech suppression, etc. So they want more Twitter, not less. But we thought it was a cesspool of Nazi porn. Musk said at the time hundreds of organizations or more were scraping Twitter data extremely aggressively with negative impact on user experience. Which brings us to Mike Benz's excellent discussion this morning of what may be really going on behind the scenes, that yet again, the world's richest man could be the only one uncancelable enough to battle. Benz begins his trek with the statement, AI censorship is where all the magic happens. He points out the Twitter file showed how the FBI might come in and get 22 tweets censored, but AI is now IEP, and other third-party censorship groups were able to get 22 million tweets censored. Okay? So, before 2016, Benz explains, you could not control the internet, but since then there has been an AI censorship Death Star under construction, which relies on massive scraping of Twitter data to track trending narratives, to systematically surveil, to build intelligence dossiers, and to track and turn down all at one communities online. So ChatGPT admitted it was unable to access real-time tweets this morning, which apparently pleased Musk. So, you know, this is a very complicated kind of techie stuff going on here. But, you know, you got Macron talking about they need to shut down the internet in some of these areas where you have all of this insanity going on, mayor's homes being invaded while the kids are in there and get injured, cops getting beat. Well, you know, there's probably been so many people killed that it's probably horrific, is what I'm guessing. Now, there's a bunch of stuff, you know, and it made me think of the Catholic prophecies about France. And I'm just going to dig through a little bit of it, okay? So there's a bunch of different stuff you can find out about these prophecies concerning France, okay? So I'll just read a little bit of this stuff, and some of it's short. French mystic and stigmatist Marthe Robin thought that France would fall lower than other nations, but that the Blessed Virgin would come to raise her up, which seems logical and natural, since that nation is consecrated to the Mother of God, Notre Dame, and so forth, who will not abandon her no matter how much France denies God and falls from grace. This is what Marthe said to some of her visitors and to her confessor, Father Finet, on February 10, 1936. France will fall low, very low, lower than other nations, because of her pride and the bad leaders she has chosen for herself. She will hit the dust. Then only will she cry out to God, and it is the Blessed Virgin who will come to save her. France will return to her mission as the eldest daughter of the church. Always keep that in mind. The church always considered France the eldest daughter of the church, okay? It's all throughout Catholic kind of historicity and all this stuff. It will again send missionaries everywhere in the world. Many other prophecies or intuitions point to the same future revival. For instance, Pope St. Pius X said on November 27, 1911, the people that made a covenant with God when they became Christian in Reims will repent and return to their first vocation. Faults will not go unpunished, but the daughter of so many merits, of so many sighs, and of so many tears will never perish. A day will come, and we hope that it is not far away, when France, like Saul on the road to Damascus, will be enveloped in a celestial light and will hear a voice repeating to her, "My daughter, why do you persecute me?" And she answers, "Who are you, Lord?" The voice will reply, "I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting." I mean, think about the reign of terror, the Jacobins, all the crap, the atheism in France, all the Jewish mobsters running France and all that. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. You find it hard to accept the spurs, but in your obstinacy, you are ruining yourself." And she, trembling and astonished, will say, "Lord, what would you want me to do?" And he will answer, "Rise up, wash away the defilements that have disfigured you, awaken in your soul the dormant feelings and the pact of our covenant, and go, eldest daughter of the church, predestination, vessel of election, go, and as in the past, carry my name before all the peoples and all the kings of the earth." And Leo XIII, for his part, said, "A nation that has sacred heart of Montmartre and Lourdes cannot perish. It will become again the glorious nation it once was." Now, this is from littlepebble.org. Let me see here. Okay. Now, let's talk about Nostradamus. Speaks of the king of the world called Chiren, Chiren, who will come from France and lead the Western army into its victory over the invading Islamic forces after the initial setback. Chiren, also mentioned as, you know, Chiren Selene in various quatrains, appeared to be a key player during the World War III, similar to, but even greater in stature than blah, 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 blah. You know, he's talking about Roosevelt and all these characters. Nostradamus indicates that this leader will come from France, okay? And there will also be a pope probably from France who will also play a crucial role during the Third World War. Most of these prophecies are from books, The Catholic Prophecy by Yves DuPont, Prophets in Our Times by Father Gerald Culleton. According to these prophecies, World War III would be a massive and surprising invasion of Russia and its allies to the West. Before this happens, there will be three major signs. A civil war will suddenly erupt in France. Later, a civil war will also start in Italy, and Pope will have to flee from Rome. There will be a great sign in the sky, a very bright comet, and a piece of this comet will hit Earth. They themselves will make great destructions and even greater high floods. Okay? So, Albrecht Weber's book, The Finger of God, contains a statement attributed to Conchita. The Pope will go to Russia, to Moscow. As soon as he returns to the Vatican, hostilities will break out in different parts of Europe. And the 18th century Father Nectu, as when the fig tree begins to sprout and produce leaves, it is a certain sign that summer is near. So when England shall begin to wane in power, the destruction of Paris shall be near at hand. This shall be a sign that England shall in return experience a more frightful revolution than that of France. And we see how many people that England has been absorbing from all over Africa, from the Islamic world. Marie-Julie Jehenny, December 6, 1874. In Rome, the storm will be the blackest. The storm of Rome is even worse than the storm in France. All the wrath of the ungodly is in Rome. All the anger of the wicked is focused on the Holy See. Desmond Burke, sometime in the future, France and Italy go into civil war at almost the same time. France will probably be first when everyone believes that peace is assured. When everyone least expects it, revolution will break out in Italy almost at the same time as in France. Luisa Picaretta, the nations for which I... snake and predilection. Italy and France are the ones that have denied the bridge. They will also be the ones that will wage war against the church. The church is so full of interior bitterness, and in addition to the interior bitterness, she is about to receive exterior bitternesses. I saw people starting a revolution, entering churches, stripping altars and burning them, making attempts on the lives of priests, breaking statues, and a thousand other insults and evils. There seemed to be a general uproar against the church. I saw many priests running away from the church and turning against the church to wage war against her. During the anti-Catholic uprisings will happen two things. In Italy, a pope will flee from Rome. In France, a remarkable prince shall start to defend his people. He will be a descendant of French King St. Louis the Ninth. And that goes on and on with all of these Catholic prophecies, okay? And I just, you know, is Catholic prophecy, Europe and the return of the king. And this is from 2012. As I watched the economic mess in Europe unfold like a slow motion video of that diver who backflopped at the Olympics, I sometimes ponder a strange question. Is this the time they were talking about? The time when Europe leads the world into the conflagration, a time the crisis of the likes of which is never seen before. Okay, Catholic prophets, when it talks about, let's see. So what do these saints, sages, fathers, and doctors tell us? The basic scenario goes something like this. Sometime near the end of the world, but before the rise of the Antichrist, the world and the church will be in a terrible state. Faith is greatly diminished, and well, let St. Nihilus tell it. There will be no respect for parents or elders. Love will disappear, and Christian pastors, bishops, and priests will become vain men, completely failing to distinguish the right-hand way from the left. At that time, the morals and traditions of Christians in the church will change. People will abandon modesty, and dissipation will reign. Falsehood and greed will attain great proportions, and woe to those who pile up treasures. Lust, adultery, homosexuality, secret deeds, and murder will rule in society. Well, that sure fits, but then what? Chastisement with a capital C. Okay? What many prophecies agree upon is the great chastisement begins with civil unrest and anarchy in Europe that grows into an all-out civil war and general war. The focus of such prophecy is Europe, but the unrest is likely not limited to there. At some point, the church and the faithful become a particular target of the hate-filled upon whom some of the worst ravages are unleashed. So it's like the Jesuits and the Jewish mob and all. They've actually orchestrated these prophecies almost into, you know, existence and moving towards this way, okay? So, but then it goes on to a new pope miraculously being chosen. The pope crowns a king, and yes, a king for France to help end the chaos there. The king goes on to defeat the enemies of the church across the world and becomes the great monarch, an emperor restored to the Holy Roman Empire and de facto leader of the world, and so forth and so on. And you can find tons of this stuff out here. I'm not going to get too much into it. I've used quite a bit of time on this, but it made me think of all that stuff that I had read over the years. Kind of like, wow, when you see France going up in kind of smoke like this. Now, Francis, okay? So, as we have this stuff going on, this seemingly, I guess you could call this a brown color revolution in France, but it's spreading allegedly to Belgium and elsewhere. They like to use different colors. Well, I guess that we could use brown for this one, since it's basically people from Africa and the Middle East that are pushing this weird uprising over this criminal kid. Okay, it's very, very parallel to the Floyd almost coronation of some sort of criminal messianic figure. This kid had a long, long record and all this weird stuff. So, anti-Pope Francis welcomes artist who submerged a crucifix in a glass of urine to the Vatican. And I sent this out to a bunch of people. Those of us that were kind of into watching Christian TV back in like the 90s, this guy, let's see, what's his name? Anyway, Serrano, okay? Andres Serrano, and he's the creator of the Piss Christ, in which he, you know, in his own urine, he submerged a model of Christ on the crucifix. So he gets invited to the Sistine Chapel, along with the guy that did the Padre Pio movie with Shia LaBeouf. But this guy did some pornography before he did this Padre Pio movie, which he was part of this group too. So the Piss Christ guy and all these kind of weird artists get invited to the Vatican, and Pope Francis' picture of him, give him a thumbs up and all this, and very, very interesting there. But Mr. Producer, if you want to get clip 13 ready. And so when I tell people that are just looking at organized Jewry and they don't want to look at this cabal within the Roman Church, Jesuitry, and then they're missing part of the equation. All right? So let's listen to a little bit of clip 13.
What do a Jesuit pope, a Jesuit priest, and a Jesuit university all have in common? A pro-LGBT agenda.
Thank you.
joining us with the latest on Pope Francis and crew, Church Militant's Rome correspondent, Dr. Jules Gomez. Jules, Pope Francis is recovering from his surgery, still in the hospital, supposed to be out tomorrow, but he still took the time to once again promote the agenda of homosexualist priest Father James Martin. Tell us about it.
At RAD, Father James Martin, a Jesuit, is the world's most notorious Catholic homo heretic. And a month before Francis was admitted to hospital on the 6th of May, he took the time out of his very busy schedule to write a personal handwritten note in Spanish to Father James Martin. And this is what he says in the letter. Let me read it to you. Listen to it very carefully. Thank you very much for your email. Thank you for all the good you are doing. Thank you. I pray for you. Please do so for me. I send my best regards to the members of the meeting at Fordham University. That's the Jesuit pro-LGBT university. Thank you for delivering it to them. In my prayers and good wishes are you and all who are working at the outreach conference. This is the pro-LGBT conference we're going to talk about. Again, Francis writes, thank you for your witness. May Jesus bless you and the Holy Virgin take care of you. Francis thanks Father James Martin five times in this little letter.
Well, you know, and he's talking about there, as you briefly mentioned, this is in reference to the Pro-Transgender Summit at Fordham Jesuit University in New York City, which starts tomorrow and is actually rolling on and through Sunday. Can you tell us about that?
One of the most striking things about this conference is the lineup of speakers. You know, it looks like they're all from the Hall of Homosexual Shame. We begin with Father Brian Masengele, who is a very prominent LGBT activist. He himself is openly homosexual. I don't know how he gets away with that. Then, of course, we have Sister Jeanine Granick, who was Pope Francis wrote a personal note to her when she completed 50 years of her ministry, even though she was silenced by the Vatican in 1999 for her totally dissident views on sexuality. She promotes same-sex marriage. And again, in 2010, I think, the United States Conference of Bishops told her that she had no authority to teach on the topic. And then, believe it or not, we have Juan Carlos Cruz, who is an openly homosexual man appointed by Pope Francis. He's a close confidant of Pope Francis, to the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors. Let me repeat that. An open homosexual is on the Vatican's Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors.
Yeah, and that's significant because the John Jay report says that homosexual, the 80% of the abuse that we've witnessed inside the church has been homosexual in nature, a male priest and or whatever in the Catholic Church on a post-pubescent.
But wow, you see how the prophecies of these people throughout the ages, how perfectly it aligns to right now, just internally inside the Catholic Church. Just mind-blowing, you know, the insanity. I'm not hearing the music, Mr. Producer. Are we hitting the break? Okay, we're coming up on break in a second. Yeah, but just wildest stuff ever. Wanted to cover that, and we'll get into some other stuff on the other side. We'll kind of get back into the France thing for a second.
I had my fair share of hard times in my You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Public Broadcasting Network. A cohort of mine sent me a copy of a tweet from this young lady, Amy Mech. Now, she's like a kind of Zionist type of person, big on Twitter for a long, long time. So it says, Imam brags France will become an Islamic country through jihad. The entire world would become subject to Islamic rule. The French will convert to Islam, be forced to pay the jizya poll tax, or be fought against for the sake of Allah. And this was in 2017. He was saying this. And then Elon Musk responded to her, and he said he is right. Kind of interesting that Elon would say that. Now, over at the Daily Stormer, Andrew Anglin wrote an article, "I, for one, welcome our new Islamic overlords." Okay. Now, I can see how the irony, why he would say that, due to the fact that, and he talks about a Holocaust memorial being desecrated in the riots and how that's a good thing. And And he says, this gives me a lot of goodwill towards the Islamic terrorists who will soon command Europe. Really, I'm just one step ahead of the game here. Everyone is going to have to submit to Islam because the only white people who will stand up for themselves are the Russians. And the Russians are not going to defend the sickening faggots in Western Europe who will not defend themselves. And I get what he's where he's coming from in a way. But think about all of the Chechens, the Dagestanis, and so forth in the Russian Federation. Those are white Muslims. And so they're a different breed than these people that the elites of the EU, the Kalergiites, have decided to move into Europe. The Sub-Saharan Africans and the Moroccans, the Algerians, Libyans, so forth, Pakistanis. France, and he's back to the article, France is in an utter doomed situation. Really, the whole of Europe is doomed entirely. In the immediate term, there's no clear way to stop this uprising. You can't possibly send the cops in with live ammo to start firing. This group has a lot of guns. They commandeered some of them from the cops. They also have AKs they got from somewhere. They were probably stored in the mosque. Where's the scenario where you go in shooting and have a little war on the streets? What is the other scenario? Ask to negotiate with their leader. Who is that? Erdogan? In the longer term, this sets a whole new precedent for race riots. This is now the single biggest riot ever in history. I don't know of any riots this size that was not considered a kind of war or coup. I posted a lot of clips yesterday. I will probably post more today, but for the latest right now, and he's talking about a French friend of his, the site. I can't stress how serious this situation is. A dozen Twitter clips can stress that seriousness. However, he's talking about, you know, letting animals out of the zoo and so forth. The media is just saying riots, not really showing what is actually happening. Apparently, we just suspect that at this point, but like with Ukraine, it is lying on a really unimaginable scale. But, you know, you read stuff like this from the Tactical Hermit. My extreme reaction to this is they're destroying a lot of utterly irreplaceable white cultural artifacts. The library in Marseille has been burned with some of the rare medieval manuscripts, now lost forever because of the importation of immigrants. So to recap, priceless works of architecture, art, and manuscripts that have been created down through the centuries by white men, that is in no small part catapulted, Western civilization forward, are being destroyed by this third world mob. Make no mistake, the EU, UN globalist headshed has been eagerly waiting for an opportunity to use their imported third world army of muzzy illegals to do their dirty work. And thanks to a carefully refined global Zog culture of social justice, Jesuit culture of social justice too, look all throughout South America, liberation theology and all that, a lot of that all comes out of the Jesuit world too, where any black or mystery meat muzzy that is killed by a police officer is automatically nominated for sainthood, just like George Floyd, the patron saint of fentanyl and armed robbery, was 3 years ago. Well, a lot of people are looking at this as much more coordinated, and I tend to agree that this is much more coordinated than just some, without the social media giants, this sort of thing. There's some way these people all are coordinating all of this with each other. And so we'll have to see how this plays out, but it's not a pretty picture here. So where do I want to go next? How about we go here domestically and talk about this kind of Chinese thing? And I'm going to get out an email out of my phone. And I'm going to listen. We're going to listen to a little bit of, Mr. Producer, if you could get clip three ready, okay. This is Mike Adams with Jeffrey Prather, okay. Now, they're talking about this Chinese influx coming through the southern border. Okay, and let's kind of listen to this. Go ahead and roll clip three real quick.
So we just saw Blinken go over there to China, and when you go to somebody, you are subservient to somebody. And what came out of that is there's now Chinese spy balloons over Montana again. The DOD says that's okay. So that's what they have acquiesced to, wow, is to being spied on. And probably, I think, there are swarm bots, micro drones, or swarms of smaller drones being dropped out of those balloons. That's one of the things I think to then do more LIDAR territory mapping for control. But this is the same thing with Blinken saying, hey, we don't want this Chinese training center in Cuba, trying to channel Kennedy about the Cuban Missile Crisis, when there are multiple Chinese intelligence centers operating right here in America, in at least seven cities, maybe more.
And what about the number of Chinese, or let's say communist Chinese, I don't know if you can call them troops, but certainly military age men, many members of the CCP that are coming across the border. You mentioned Michael Yan earlier. Of course, he's a frequent guest here on this show as well. And his information is firsthand information. So he's not relying on just OSINT or anything like that. He's looking, he's watching the Chinese migrants slash invaders come across through the Darien Gap. So that's firsthand information. We are being occupied, but for what exactly, Jeffrey? What's the end game or the pivot point of this occupation?
Yeah, Michael is great. He's been on my show often. He, like I am, former Special Forces. He goes right down to the Darien Gap. He's spent there a lot more time than I have. And he's seen, I think he broke the story of the UN giant camp down there. And now there are camps all along, exposing the corporate, the international corporate cartels of child trafficking, sex trafficking, along with the drug trade. But that is separate as well. But, you know, I'd kind of like to hear your opinion, because you speak Mandarin, I believe it is. But my assessment, along with other Special Forces intelligence personnel, former intelligence personnel, is that the Chinese fighting men, the military fighting men that are coming in, they're soldiers, just like in my day, the Contras came out of Nicaragua, trained in Honduras, and then went back in. And I was on the Las Vegas Salient on the border of Honduras, Nicaragua, doing that. They are coming in to control and run our fields of food and our oil fields as well. Because my assessment, and you probably know this better than I, but China is hungry. They are running out of food. They need American food. And China is cold. They're running out of fuel. They need American fuel. And so the regular Chinese soldiers, I assess, are coming in, and other Special Forces intelligence personnel assess too, to control our fields, also the marijuana fields. And there's anecdotal personal observation of that happening as well. There's also Chinese Special Operations personnel. They're not here to guard the fields. They are more likely here to take and hold nodes of transportation and logistics, such as bridges. Think of a bridge too far. Think of Operation Market Garden in World War II, and trucks and trains and ports of which they already control a great deal, because the resistance is building in no small part, you know, to our efforts and to Brightdown TV's efforts. But that's how I assess that.
Go ahead and stop it there and go to that second part real quick, Mr. Producer. And there's an article up. It's on Discern Report, but it's originally on WorldNet Daily. Gordon Chang, China's shock troops now inside the U.S. Okay, China's shock troops are already inside the U.S., and the concern is that on the first day of war in Asia, they will take down America's power lines, poison reservoirs, assassinate officials, start wildfires, spread pathogens, and create terror by bombing shopping malls and supermarkets. That's a warning from Gordon Chang, the author of The Coming Collapse of China and a Gatestone Institute Distinguished Senior Fellow. He wrote at the Institute, where he is on the advisory board, that Chinese migrants are gaining entry in the U.S. through the southern border in unprecedented numbers. Once here, the military fighters can link up with China's agents already in place or Chinese diplomats. He said estimated their numbers already at 5,000 to 10,000. Okay, let's go ahead and play that second part that from that video.
Yeah, and I want to ask you in a second about ties between the Biden administration and the CCP, but because I think there's some cooperation taking place there. But first, to kind of answer your question, culturally, in my experience and knowledge about China, culturally they're very patient. It's a patient culture, willing to play the long game. But at the same time, this occupation of the United States appears to be staging for an event that would be related to China's possible siege of Taiwan. And so should that siege take place, and it's not clear yet to me that they're going to launch that, because China is having a lot of success taking over the Taiwan press, Taiwan culture. Taiwan youth are very much more pro-China now than the older generation, which was the DPP party. Now the KMT party, younger party, very much pro-China, pro-reunification. So China is kind of winning in Taiwan right now. But should they decide to hurry that up and launch, let's say, a naval and air embargo against Taiwan, I believe that at that time, their soldiers in the United States would be activated to create havoc in the U.S., as you said, bridges, but also I think to target refineries, police stations, power grid infrastructure, in order to create chaos so that the United States is very much occupied, the U.S. government occupied domestically and unable to expend proper resources and attention to the situation in Taiwan. That's the best that I can tell so far. What do you think about all that?
Oh, that's a very interesting take. I certainly think that a siege of Taiwan makes sense, as in a blockade. There have been blockades before,
all right, let's go and stop
but
it
I
there.
Think
now back to that article. This guy Richard Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center, who told Gatestone recently, when the Chinese Communist Party starts its war against Taiwan and the United States, Americans should expect that Chinese sleeper agents now in America will hit targets like gas stations and military. Age Chinese now crossing our border will be mobilized for assassination attacks and assaults on U.S. military bases. That means the next war in Asia will almost certainly be fought on U.S. soil, perhaps on its first day. Unsuspecting Americans will be in the fight. And if you really think about our entire Democrat Party, damn near, and a good chunk of the Republican Party have already basically... I mean, think about Ted Lieu. Think about Adam Schiff. You think about Pelosi, the Feinsteins, Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington, the goofball governor up there in Oregon, Gavin Newsom, you know, a lot of these people, and some of these Republicans, too. They're all – think of all the think about all the corporates that have moved so much over there. Boeing, Microsoft, you name it, Apple. And this is why some people are kind of skeptical of this viewpoint, because they were like, well, we're China and us are locked into this relationship to where financially, you know, the war, a hot war between both of us, is not, you know, going to base, you know, give either one of us any kind of an advantage or so forth and so on. Now, a lot of people are always saying that China's on the verge of collapse. You know, you hear this all the time, and you know, it's crazy. But you think about this thing with China and these why these people are seeing all these Chinese come up through this Darien Gap there in Panama. And you have to look and be like, okay, well, who is facilitating, which country in South America is watching this and sponsoring this? Is it Brazil? Is it Lula? Is it Maduro? You know, is it Ecuador? You know, it's hard to really say where are the flights? Okay, where, you know, you got the Panama Canal being controlled by the Chinese at both ends. Remember all that whole dust up back when Clinton gave away Hutchison Whampoa, I think was the name of one of the big company that was going to be at, I think, both sides of the port. The canal. That was a big thing with the John Birch Society and all that in the 90s. Are they coming in on ships? Or are they coming in on flights? You know, it's a fascinating kind of thing to wonder about, okay? Because you got guys like Lula, Brazilian President Lula, who was backed by Biden and the CIA, announces he's proud to be called a communist and socialist. You know, and then these people want to... Some court down there wants to block Bolsonaro from running for any kind of political office until 2030. Now, this was up on Yahoo Finance. I found this interesting. U.S. farmer warns China is quietly taking over food security. Despite lawmakers' success in introducing legislation to address the issue, one U.S. farmer raised a red flag that China is still infiltrating many, many acres in rural America. They're tapping into the American food structure in this country, and we should be looking at that as food security, people. National Black Farmers Association President John Boyd Jr. said on Cavuto's show, because they're tapping into American farms and tapping into the hog industry, all of these industries that China is quietly taking over here in the United States. Well, remember the whole Smithfield Foods thing some years back? So I'm sure that this is continuing to march on. So they're saying 383,000 acres of U.S. farmland, and it's generating almost $2 billion a year. And, you know, it's probably all going back to China. So you think about that whole thing with this kind of Red Dawn scenario, almost a Trojan horse Red Dawn scenario, where we've got all of these collaborators in government that are just letting this occur on purpose, as happened in France, as happened in Britain, as happened in Germany, and all these other countries. And so you got this narrative floating around very heavily. And then I'm going to read this email I got from, you know, I'm on all these email chains, and it's talking about all these military movements around the United States, okay? And so basically they're saying martial law now rolling out in the United States, Canada, and Europe so far. Patriots and warriors know what, why, and whom. And it goes into a lot of Hal Turner stuff and, you know, a bunch of different Restored Republic and a bunch of these different Michael Jaco and all this deep state takedown stuff. And so none of the creators of those reports, articles, and comments, including Rick Wiles, seem to be aware that there are two versions of the United States. There is a corporation in the United States controlled by the Zionist Freemason enemy of Americans, which is bankrupt and being closed down. And then there's the Republic, which is will be controlled by the American people, is not bankrupt, has its own currency, and being brought in by President Trump, white hats, and patriots. It's kind of the Q narrative. The military is being placed strategically by Trump and team, who is commander-in-chief, to deal with the probable coming violence and destruction, which will be organized by the corporation criminals and their useful idiots. Relax, live and learn, do your preps, as we are in good hands, not perfect, but good. This is what's in store for Americans and Canadians if you don't remove the Zionist fake Khazarian Jews completely from within the borders of the United States and Canada. And it talks about some things going on against the Palestinians and so forth. So you got the military, these guys are deploying throughout the United States, and this is all Patriot white hat stuff, and none of us are going to get taken off to any kind of camps. This is all for the bad guys, and we're all safe. Just sit back and relax and eat your popcorn or whatever. I mean, that's a very dangerous viewpoint to hold completely. I can't. I see the machinations of DARPA, the warp speed. And I'll play this some stuff like some more James Giordano from Georgetown, and he's a big DARPA neuro warfare guy. I'll play some of his stuff after the top of the hour, but I don't trust the Pentagon, okay? And I don't trust the rank and file American military person right now in 2023. They've all been shot up. They're all possibly controllable through manipulation. I hope I'm wrong. All right, let's take a break.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.